What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the 20th episode of the Nerdyish Podcast. My name is Mike, and as always, I'm joined by the lovely and talented
Elroy.
Elroy.
Yes.
How much Clash Royale have you played today?
Pretty much the whole day, man. I've just been in my bed on this Sunday, lazy Sunday, playing Clash Royale. It's taken over me.
That happened to me yesterday. I got home. I forgot what time I got home. I was like, I'm going to play a few rounds, and I'm going to play some Xbox. Like, fucking 5 hours later, I'm still playing.
I dream it. I go to sleep, and I'm dreaming Clash Royale. This game pretty much is the game of my life at the moment.
It's crazy, right?
Yes, I love it, and I just can't seem to break past 1300. I'm always dropping down to 1200, and I'm going back up close to 1400, but I can never really pass 1300.
So last week, we mentioned that we had like a friendly little trophy race going in the clan. And I think it's safe to assume that I kind of like shut that shit down.
Yes, yeah, he got 1900 plus, blah, blah, blah.
I'm sitting at 1920 right now. I'm afraid to continue because I want to push 2000. Because I think if I go to 2000, I go to the next arena.
Okay.
And I can do that pretty much in like 2 to 3 games. But then I can lose 2 or 3 games and lose almost 100 trophies. So it's kind of like, it's kind of shaky ground right now because the guys that I'm facing have like crazy shit. Like, the dude I faced had the Dark Prince, and they could possibly have the little Archer chick, and it's going to be crazy, man.
Yeah, I mean, I seem to be playing... My biggest enemies, whoever uses huts, multiple huts and spawning, is just... It's overwhelming.
Which is weird, because you usually carry the rocket, and the rocket...
Yeah, but the thing is, the rocket destroys the goblin hut in one hit, and even the zombie hut, skeleton hut. But the barbarian hut, they stay... At least one hit, they almost little left and less than half health left.
Yeah. So that means if people put both huts together, it gives you a trouble.
Yeah, but I mean, I can knock out the one hut if they're both like together where I can rocket them.
Yeah. It's tough, man. So this week, it's been a lot of Clash Royale going on. Our clan is, we got like 10 members, I think, right? It's 10?
About, I think, yeah.
And what's cool about the clan is that everybody pretty much knows each other. Well, I know pretty much everyone on the clan except for one person that I never met. But it's pretty much everybody knows each other. And, we had two guys join the clan that didn't speak English at all. I don't know what the fuck they were talking. I had no idea what language that was.
But they Yeah, left. I tried to make it out. I know they probably spoke one word of English. But, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. But the clan is going strong. We were sitting at 5,000 trophies, and then you and Ant started losing, and then the trophies went down. So,
yeah, yeah. So we're at number 20.
Huh?
We're at number 20.
20 what? Oh, yeah.
The podcast.
Podcast, yep. It's like our 20.
It was slow, but we made it.
We made it. Word. It's crazy, right? Starting like yeah. Years ago when we had that one solo podcast. Then now we're 20 episodes later.
Yep.
And I think for the next 20 episodes, it's safe to assume we're going to be playing a lot more Clash Royale.
Yeah, I'm probably going to play it as we speak.
It's gratifying when you're playing, right? And you keep winning, and then you reach that new arena. You're like, yes! And then you get these new chests that unlock new characters. And I'm pissed because I haven't got a magical chest in a while.
Yeah, I had one yesterday.
I see people getting all these chests, and I'm like, what the fuck, man? Like, I keep playing, and I keep winning. I should get something. I keep getting crap. I haven't even gotten a giant chest or anything like that.
Yeah, I tend to get a lot of giant, well, a lot of golden ones.
Yeah, it sucks, but whatever. Because the thing in the golden one, you don't get epic characters. You just get rare. And I need a magic chest, because that Ice Mage, I don't even know, what's his name, Ice Mage?
I guess, yeah. Because the Fire Mage is Fire Mage.
I want to unlock him. I don't know if I'm going to use him, but I just want to unlock him. But I need a magic chest. And it's fucking... Have you seen the pricing on this game?
Yeah. I mean, $99 for freaking...
No, but...
What, jewels.
Like I mentioned last week, I'm going to show you. I'm going to pull up the game right now, right? If you notice, as you go to a higher arena, the cost goes up, right? So a magic chest right now is 3,400 gems. For me. Now check yours real quick. Or I don't know if you're in the middle of a game right now.
No, but so they go up? I didn't know that.
As you reach a new tier, it goes up.
Interesting.
So it says Arena 6, Super Magical Chest. What is yours?
Okay, yeah, I noticed it. Mine says Arena 4. Super Magical Chest 2800.
2800. Then it's going to go up to like 3000 or 3200. Then it's going to go up to 3400. Now, in order to get 3400 gems, you need to spend $30.
Dang.
Because $20 is the 2500 gems. And then the next tier is $50, which is 6500 gems. Or you can just do the $20 one and then do the $10 one, which is 1200 gems. Now, 3400 times 2 is 6800, right?
Yep.
So that means with $50, you can't even get 2 magic chests.
That's crazy.
Yeah, because it's 6500 and you need 6800 to get 2 chests. That's a little ridiculous.
Yeah, I try not to spend any more money on these games. I already did. Nothing OD, but I don't think I want to continue on that route.
No, it's definitely like they're gouging people now. It's like it's a little ridiculous. Like if they would have kept the price down, fine, whatever. But like think about it, man. This is like not tangible. Like you can't even touch the characters or anything like that. And you're spending pretty much $100 to get all the shit. It's ridiculous. And that's random. That's not even guaranteed that you get the characters you want. It's a little ridiculous, man.
I'm getting my ass kicked right now.
To Edwin?
No, I'm playing a random.
Oh, so what's cool about the game, again, we're talking about Clash Royale for the iPhone, Android, I guess mobile devices. What's cool about it is when you have a clan, you can invite people in your clan to a friendly battle. So you press friendly battle and it'd say, like a message would pop up on the clan page and it'd say, can you beat me? And then you just accept it and then you play a person in your clan pretty much. And it's not for any trophies, it's not for anything, it's pretty much just for bragging rights. And it's fun, man. It's fun. But the problem with the clan is if you play against somebody who's low level in your clan, you're just gonna totally wreck them. So it's kind of a little unfair. But again, there's no trophies involved. There's no ranking involved. It's just for fun, just to like the other day. I think it was yesterday. Aoi texted me and was like, "Let's play. I want to try new decks or whatever." And then we just played to try new decks and just for fun or whatever. And yeah. And then you can play ranked against other people. Once you play a regular match, it's totally ranked. Like, there's no, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Like, it's automatically going to go into a ranked match, and then it's for trophies. And again, you could lose 25 trophies, or you could gain 30 trophies, or lose. I've lost 36 trophies in one loss, and that just sucks, man. So, yeah, there was yesterday, it was pretty bad. Like, I was the first in the clan. I was, like, really ahead by, like, 300, 400 trophies. And I just kept losing. And then I dropped to second place. I was like, nah, fuck this. And then I kept playing, and then I got all the way back up. So I think I have, like, a 400 trophy lead or some shit in our clan, so.
Yeah, I'm at 1257 now. Damn it.
1257. I'm at 1920, so that's crazy.
Yeah. Well, that's Clash Royale, folks. Download it. It's pretty addictive.
Really, really cool game. So, I decided this week we should discuss, number one, Daredevil.
Right? Hell yeah.
And then today's Sunday?
Yeah, today's Sunday.
Friday, me and Owe saw Batman v Superman. And I saw it twice. I saw it Friday morning and I saw it Friday night. You haven't seen it again, right?
Next week.
Next week. Okay, cool. So, let's just get into a Daredevil discussion. Did you finish it?
Hell yeah. Finished it that weekend.
What did you think?
Amazeballs. I don't know why I said that, but it was amazing. I really enjoyed it. And Punisher, man. John Bernthal, I think that's his last name.
I keep forgetting.
Yeah, amazing, amazing Punisher. He did a great job. I really enjoy what's his face as Daredevil. Cox? His last name is Cox. I thought it was great. It was a lot of action. It was a lot of story, darkness to continue the world of Daredevil and Hell's Kitchen. And I really enjoyed just seeing the Punisher, man. He kicked a lot of ass.
Yeah, he really did, man. And it's crazy because normally the Punisher's brutal, but this it takes it up a few notches. It's kind of crazy how brutal this motherfucker is, man. And it's just. When you watch Daredevil, just be warned. Like, you have to be able to deal with a lot of gore and violence. And it's brutal.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised. Like, the stabbings and just the shotgun to the face or whatever pistol to the face. It was OD. And, the choreography and the fighting with, Daredevil himself and the staircase scene, which is reminiscent of the first season of the hallway. It was just, it's just awesome. Like, I really enjoyed Daredevil. On Netflix. I mean, I didn't care for the movie with Ben Affleck. But I'm so glad that they're taking this franchise serious and really doing an amazing job with it on Netflix.
Yeah, and it just goes to show that you don't need to have a big budget. It goes to show you don't have to be on the silver screen. It just shows that you can have a show, and if it's crafted well and if it's treated with care, you can have a successful show. And the show is fucking great, man.
And handled by the right people, which originally Fox owned Daredevil. Now Marvel Studios has Daredevil back. So it's just great to see Daredevil and then include the Punisher. And then you had Elektra, who was awesome. It was great to see her. I didn't think I was going to care for her character, but I did like her character, and I thought she was sexy. It was great to see Kingpin back. He kind of pissed me off when he grabbed Matt Murdock in the jail, and he like kept slamming him onto the table, and I felt bad for him. Like, damn. Because he thought he was going to have Wilson Fisk Kingpin in his grasp, but it was the other way around, physically too.
This is what I think about the show. I think the first four episodes were, like, crazy. Like, really, really good. And it hit, like, such a high mark. Now, yeah. I did love the season, but I don't think it ever reaches the height of those first four episodes.
It kind of dragged. Not dragged, but it kind of slowed down. But spoilers, I didn't mind.
We're going to talk spoilers.
So yeah.
If you haven't finished, be warned.
I didn't mind that it kind of, like, slowed down because we had the first four episodes were amazing. You still, aside from action and, like, all this hype that's going on in the story, you still need story. It has to slow down a bit. It has to tell the story of what's going on.
Yeah, I don't mind the storytelling. I just feel like I was kind of, like, let down when they captured Punisher and he was in prison for, like, four episodes. And I was just kind of like, I was enjoying the character so much and what he was doing.
But the courtroom scene, I thought it was awesome. Just, like, the way he responded to the jury and... Like, he just didn't care. He's like, I'm still going to do what I'm going to do. And, I wrote it. I wrote it for Punisher. Like, hell yeah, keep killing them thugs.
I just wish that we would have got a full season of just to see what he was capable of. Because, like, especially, like, the rooftop scene when he captures Daredevil. And you get a lot of character building with him. And it shows, like, what he's really about and what he stands for. And, like, the polarity between him and Daredevil. And it's just, it was cool. And then I was hoping we got to see more of him. And then, he kind of like was caged for the rest of the season, pretty much, until he...
Did you hear me?
What?
You froze for a bit, so I wasn't sure.
Oh, Skype.
Skype babies.
Sorry.
But, I guess they didn't really do that because it's still a Daredevil show. You don't want to take away from the main character. Mm-hmm. I guess they can really leave... much of Punisher if they decide to do a solo show.
Yeah. That's going to be violent. Like, crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I know Luke Cage is coming out soon. Mm-hmm. Iron Fist. So, I'm just waiting up on that.
Marvel's going to take over Netflix soon.
Hell yeah. I still need to get the first Daredevil DVD season.
It's out on Blu-ray.
No?
All right. I checked because I was like, you know what? I must have missed it because I was like, I never bought it and I would like to own the series. And I checked it and I don't see anything.
But it's on regular DVD.
Is it?
No, I'm asking you, is it?
I don't think it's out at all.
Okay.
I haven't seen it. I'm not sure. I don't think so. That'd be cool. I would like to purchase that. But
hell yeah.
The show's really, really good. It's just... it sucks about a lot of these shows that you have to wait about a year to see the next season. Which is going to suck because I would love to see... Did it get greenlit already?
Yeah.
It did? Okay, cool.
Which one?
Daredevil. Season 3?
I think so. I believe so. I don't see why not.
Well, yeah. So now we got...
Then again, I know they're trying to do the Defenders, so they're probably not trying to waste time on making another Daredevil, but I don't see why not if they eventually do it.
You know, it's crazy because Netflix started, 2002, I would think, 2003-ish. Well, it started to get really big, and I used to work for Netflix, right? So I used to work for Netflix shipping DVDs and... started from its humble beginnings, and now look what it's doing, man. It's ridiculous. Like, it's funny because you used to sit in this little warehouse pretty much, and you had a computer in front of you, and in the morning you would get all the returned DVDs from the post office, and then they would bring you bins and bins of just DVDs, and you would open them, and they had like a little barcode. You would scan it as a return, and then during the afternoon you would scan the same DVD, and then the label would pop out, and it'd tell you who you're shipping it to, and you put it in a sleeve, and you just do that all day. And I don't know how Netflix operates now because it's most digital, and
yeah,
it's crazy how big it's become. I remember working for Netflix, and we would see a commercial, and we're like, "Oh shit, we're on TV! Like Netflix is getting big, and look at it now, doing Marvel shows. They got Voltron coming out. It's just, damn.
Yeah,
House of Cards is huge, and shit. Kudos to Netflix, man.
Who needs cable?
Yeah, it's funny because when I started with Netflix, there was no Blu-rays. This was 2003, and I remember when you worked there, you had to work for a temp agency first for 3 months, and then you became permanent. And then I remember when you became permanent, they gave you a free DVD player, and we had free Netflix subscription. So I had a subscription where I could get 8 movies at one time, plus I got a 6 DVD changer. It was ridiculous, and damn, time has changed. That's about 13 years ago. Holy shit. Yeah, I worked there just for a few months, and then I ended up working for the schools and stuff. But yeah, it was cool experience. But I digress. So Daredevil. Yeah, it's very, again, some people were saying that they were turned off by the violence and how violent it was and brutal. And I just feel like it's a gritty world, man. It's just, you got to get used to it. When you watch Daredevil, you have to know, especially with the Punisher. Like, what do people expect?
Yeah, but I mean, people complain, and that's another thing that gets, we'll talk about with Batman versus Superman. Oh, it's too dark. It's too this, like, shut up.
Yeah.
Get a pair of balls, like, you gotta be kidding me.
Yeah, it's just, Punisher's a brutal character, and I think in order to do his character justice, you have to be brutal like that. It's just what it is. He's a superhero, but he will kill, and he didn't give a shit, you know, like, unlike Batman or Superman, he just, there's reckless abandon. He's gonna shoot you, he's gonna make sure you
are breathing. Maybe it's not superhero, but anti-hero.
Well, anti-hero, yeah, but, you know. It's crazy, and I think that's the best way to portray it. It's just, it goes to show, like, he draws the line between...
Yeah, his way of seeing things when it comes to taking out criminals is taking them out fully.
Like, the scene in the hospital. Like, that was so unexpected, because he's chasing... Who was he chasing again?
I think he was chasing that guy that he was being used with the reporters.
Yeah, he's chasing him.
And I mean, the attorneys, excuse me.
Deborah Ann Wall's character. What's in the character's name?
Karen.
Karen. She's protecting this guy because he's, you know, they're defending him in court.
Grotto, I think his name was. Grotto.
And he's chasing this guy throughout the hospital. He opens fire in a hospital with a shotgun. And I didn't expect that to happen. And it was crazy, man. And this guy's wiping out mobs with, like, it's dope, man. It's really, really cool. And he could fight because when him and Daredevil fight, you know.
He kicked Daredevil's ass. He kicked
Daredevil's ass twice. And it's just... Shit, man. It's just really, really good, man. And I think it's just... What a time to be a comic fan, right? Because we have Deadpool that just came out. That was dope. We got X-Men coming out. We just saw Batman vs. Superman. We got Daredevil. And it's just...
Civil War, which I'm fading for right now.
What, that's May 4th?
Yeah.
I already got tickets, so I'm going that morning. Yeah, it's crazy, man. The comic, think about it. You mentioned Daredevil. What year Daredevil came out? Like 2004?
Yeah, I think 2003 or 2004.
2003 or 2004, and look what it is now. The comic movies have come along. I was just watching Spider-Man 3, and I'm looking at the CGI. I'm like, it's fucking terrible. And the funny thing is, I remember watching Spider-Man 3 when it came out in 2007, and I'm like, the CGI didn't look good. And it seemed
it seemed like a step down from the other Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, it's crazy. And now we got Spider-Man in Civil War.
Hell yeah.
Shit, we go from 2007, then we had two amazing Spider-Man movies in between, and now he's jumping to Civil War, and it's just going to be... Damn. Can't wait. Yeah, so overall, what would you give Daredevil out of a 10?
I'll give it a 9.5.
9.5? I give it like an 8.5. Just because I don't think it stood as strong throughout the whole season. But overall, I thought it was solid. I was a little disappointed with the villains, the ninjas? The Black
Hand?
The Black Hand? Or the Hand?
The Hand.
I don't know. When I saw the ninjas, I was just kind of like, eh.
They kind of reminded me of the guys from the first one.
Yeah, well, Nobu's back. You know, and I was just kind of like, really? Like, I don't know. I was a little disappointed. I don't know. And I feel like, I mean, you can't make Daredevil invincible, right? But he gets his ass whipped, man. It's just crazy. He gets his ass whipped. And,
well, I mean, he's blind, and his thing is hearing.
Well,
and those ninjas, they were able to stop their breath and be really silent.
But I mean, he fought Punisher, got his ass whipped.
Yeah, that's the thing that kind of like blew my mind. Like, okay, you're getting ass kicked by Punisher, but then you're kind of, the ninja should be worse. So I don't know.
Yeah, and then he gets his ass whipped by Kingpin, like you said, in prison. And yeah, I don't know. It was just, Daredevil looks like Rocky the whole movie. His face is all bloody and fucking bruised the whole damn movie. He's just constantly getting punched in the face throughout the whole show. And he got his ass whipped by Kingpin also, which Kingpin, I can't wait for him to be back out in the streets, man. Because it was kind of like, he wasn't there the whole season, and then they showed him like, what, 2-3 episodes?
Yeah, I mean, he's in jail, but they still showed how he's trying to get his power back, which he does get power into the jail.
Yeah, it seemed like they were doing a little ramp up to the next season.
Just you know, to make sure and power, I mean, just you know, in the drug community.
Yeah, just and, to remind crying. You that he's there, you know?
Yeah.
Like, hey, I'm here. Don't forget about me. But it would also be interesting to see how they go with the next season, right? And it was a little weird because I didn't expect them to introduce sort of like a supernatural twist with the hand and...
But you, if you've seen the Elektra movie, you knew that was coming. Because Elektra, she dies and then she comes back to life.
What Elektra movie?
With Jennifer Garner.
Because I totally like removed that movie from my memory.
Yeah.
I don't know what movie.
And in the comics, she dies, but she gets brought back to life. So in the season 2, the last episode, she dies. But I know she's going to come back to life. She has to.
It's weird because when the show was going on and you see like all this blood, right? They kept showing like these people getting their blood extracted.
Yeah.
And I'm like, are they going to introduce Morbius? I'm like, wait a minute, where's this show going? I'm like, I have no idea what's going on right now. Then when they were in the hospital, you see those kids that did the donors or whatever that they look like. I don't know. I was like, are these guys vampires? Like, what the fuck is going on? Like,
yeah, but I don't think Morbius is that strong of a villain to really carry out such a, you know, a thing.
But he's more of a Spider-Man villain, right?
Or yeah, he's more of a Spider-Man villain, but he's not really, like, top villain like that.
No, I know, but I figure with such a show like Daredevil, where it's not going to be high, super high profile, like, I was like, all right, it would fit that they would put a character like this, but I'm like, am I ready for this supernatural twist? Like, is it really necessary at this moment? And like you said...
Well, once Doctor Strange comes out, I think we'll be accepting of it. Yeah. Because look at Iron Fist. I think Iron Fist is supernatural of sorts.
I don't really know much about Iron Fist at all, so...
Just Google, quick Google of the character.
Yeah, I'm not going to pretend I really know about him, but... Yeah, we'll see. But overall, the show's really solid. I'm really interested to see how season 3 hits. I do want to see more of the Kingpin, and I want to see him, like, really officially take power and, like, because, you know, some people are like Wilson Fisk, they're not really scared of him yet, and I want him to, like, be that guy, you know, next season, so we'll see what happens with that, and it'll be interesting to see how Elektra comes back, because she does die, and, yeah, we'll see. No cheesy-ass Daredevil Elektra fight scene on the seesaws. I hate that damn scene. Anyway, so you want to jump into Batman v Superman?
Yes, before we do, Kingsman's The Secret Service, right? The second movie has a title.
What's it called?
Kingsman, The Golden Circle. I don't know what it's about, but...
You really need to watch that.
Yes, I know. I really want to. I just haven't. But yeah, I think Julianne Moore will be the villain. Hmm. It might... The Golden Circle might be her group. Apparently, something happens and... The British, that secret, you know, group, they had to be joined by the American agency, which is run by Halle Berry. Yeah. So look for, yeah, I'm not really a fan of Halle Berry, but we'll see. So yeah, let's jump into Batman versus Superman, or Batman v Superman: Dawn of Justice.
All right, so we'll start with the story. All right, so my take on the story is, I had a major criticism with Man of Steel. We've had this conversation a million times. I don't know if we spoke about it on podcast, but I know definitely off podcast we've spoken about this. And I had major issues with the movie and how it was just like total destruction, and I kind of felt like Superman didn't do enough to like get rid of the destruction. You know, like we had that conversation, right?
Yeah.
And this movie literally takes that, and it seems like they took the criticism and they just ran with it. And it's just like, all right, cool, now we're going to address it. So now you have this basis where the movie starts off, and spoilers, by the way, clear spoilers. We're going to talk about the full movie. So, yeah. So now, when we see the movie open up, you see Batman's origin, right?
Yeah.
And you're just kind of like, fuck, do we really have to see Batman's origin? But I think it was beautifully shot. Like, I thought the origin looked great, man.
Apparently, that origin is based on one of the comic books. That it's like shot for shot. Yeah. It was done shot for shot, like a comic.
It looked really good. What do you think?
I know we get enough of the origins, but it wasn't like it took forever. It wasn't like the whole movie was an origin story. It was just, you know, here, guys, let's just throw this out there again. And again, that part of, like we told your brother, Martha Wayne, his mother shares the same name as Superman's Earth mother, which is Martha. And I feel like that's one of the reasons why they kind of threw in an origin again, like the clip, but to really emphasize the Martha aspect. You probably could have done it a different way. Yeah, sure, but they went that way, in which later on through the movie, the name Martha kind of stops Batman from fully killing Superman. Yeah.
So it starts off with the origin, which again, I think is beautifully shot. And, you know, now you see the destruction from the first movie in Batman's point of view, right?
Yeah.
So you see him, like, he lands on a helicopter in Metropolis, and he, like, literally driving towards the destruction. Like, he's trying to get to Wayne Tower. He calls his coworker, his boy, whatever, and it's just like, you know, evacuate everybody out of the building, and he's driving over there. And you can see the contrast between a regular human being when everybody's running away from the destruction, and you see somebody like Batman who has to be super heroic, who has to be this guy, right? Like, you have to be a certain type of person to be able to be a Batman, right? And you see that he has no suit on, he has no utility belt, he has nothing, and he's running towards the destruction to help. And I love that moment. I thought that moment was great, and I'm just like, shit. And you get to really see, like, yeah, Superman, he did save the world, but there's also something scary about this guy, because he can literally destroy anything he wants, right?
Yeah.
Just like we see in the Injustice comics, like, Superman goes crazy and he's just killing everyone, right? So now you have this, like, this question mark. Is it safe to have Superman around? And that's what the whole basis of the story is around. Plus, a lot of people are complaining about the politics behind the movie.
And honestly, when in a situation like this, there's going to be politics. And I'm not into politics, but for the film, I thought it was cool. Like, it wasn't heavily focused on just politics and talking. No, it was a necessary element, I think, in the movie.
Yeah, and it's just, imagine something like this in real life happening. Because I think, although our government would be grateful for Superman saving, you know, us, and I think the senator, I forgot her name in the movie, but she mentions that, like, she doesn't mind him helping, but he can't act unilaterally. Like, he has to be under, like, he has to answer to us, you know?
Yeah.
And of course that would happen in real life. Like, come on. You think people are just going to let him do whatever he wants? No, the government's going to be afraid of something that they can't control. So they're going to definitely step in somehow. And I think it's very realistic. And especially, I think we even see the same thing in Civil War, if I'm not mistaken, right?
In a way, yes. Yeah, pretty much.
They say we have to be in check,
right? Yeah.
And it's just the same way. It's the same. I think it's just a natural, I think it's organic for it to come.
Yeah, out. And I don't want to hear complaining of Civil War. Oh, the people like it in Civil War, but when it comes to Batman v Superman, you're complaining that it was too much politics. Like, no, that's what both of these movies are about right now. So, and you need it. I that's the thing. A lot of negative criticism with this movie that I don't understand.
Not at all.
A lot of people say, oh, they try to cram too much into the movie, too many storylines into the film. The death of Superman, Batman's arc, and one of his... It's like, come on, people. It's still one single movie that introduced these two characters and the idea of what they're trying to build of a world where Flash is involved, Wonder Woman's involved, all these characters.
This is the way I was thinking about the movie earlier. I don't know if, as a kid, did you ever read The Death of Superman? Did you read that whole string of comics?
No.
So just picture the movie... Picture the movie with, like, a comic book, but just separate issues, right? So issue one shows Batman's take on the whole shit, right? You get a little introduction to Batman. Then you say issue two, and you get issue two, and you get to see what else? Like the political side of it. You get to see Lex Luthor a little bit. You get to see how the kryptonite is injected into the story, right? Because originally, I remember Zack Snyder saying there was no kryptonite in his universe. For Batman of Steel, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, right? There was no kryptonite.
So now we see that introduced. Then you get... So if you think about it, if you think about it within chunks, it's different issues of a comic, in my opinion. Right? And I don't know if that was done intentionally or if that's just the way I'm interpreting it, but...
That's what people were saying they had a problem with.
Everything is being set up. Now, if this was a story on book, you would read it within issues. And you need something to carry each issue. It's not going to just be, now they're going to fight. Because even the original Doomsday storyline, there was issues. You seen Doomsday making his way to Metropolis. He didn't just pop up in Metropolis. You see him rampaging throughout different cities or whatever it was and killing all these superheroes and all this shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, people just... They have to think about it as a comic fan. You're looking at a comic book movie. There's different issues. And me personally, as I think about the movie more and more, I like it more and more. Because the whole setup was just, to me, in my opinion, is great. Like,
yeah, you know, people are like, it's all over the place. And I'm like, did you watch the movie? How was it all over the place?
And I mean, personally, runtime of a movie doesn't bother me. So when I heard 2.5 hours, I was like, all right, cool. But if you think about it, they can make the movie even longer and flesh out each portion of the story even further, right?
Yeah.
And to me, in my opinion, I would have been okay with that. And I heard that the Blu-ray that's coming out is going to add another half hour or some shit to the
movie. Be like R-rated.
And I'm fine with that because I'm interested. I'm invested in the story. Like, I'm with it. I want to see how they, what 30 minutes they cut out. What did they remove? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. And Lex Luthor, his character, me and you were in an agreement because there was one point where Elroy turned to me and I already had seen the movie at this point and he goes, I like that guy. I think his portrayal of Lex Luthor was amazing.
Yeah, and I've read comments where people said his character was annoying, like a child and blah, blah. And I'm like, as I was watching the movie, those were the things I was looking for. And I really enjoyed his Lex Luthor. You know, he was smart and his way, like his dialogues, whenever he spoke, it was just like, I was invested in him, you know, and you can see how crazy he was and how he wanted to kill Superman, and he got Batman and he tried to put them together. Like, he was really good, and I think he was my favorite Lex out of any of the Lex Luthors that were portrayed.
Yeah, and normally we see Lex as just this real estate guy who wants his own country or whatever it is, right? Well, within the movie universe, because in the original movies of Superman, that's pretty much the storyline, and then Superman Returns, it was the same shit, right? So now, he wasn't in Man of Steel, so we don't see Lex. We just see Lex Corp around. You know that it's around, right? Now we get to see this guy. He's a psychotic guy, and his portrayal, I'm not gonna say it's over the top, because I feel like it brought a new depth to the character in general. And I'm not going to say, because I think over the top, when you say it like that, it's just a negative thing. And I don't agree it's a negative thing. I thought his portrayal was amazing. And like I told my wife, because she said she didn't like Lex Luthor, that she thought that it was over the top. And I'm like, now look at Heath Ledger as the Joker. He was able to play the Joker in his own terms, right?
Yeah.
And we possibly saw the greatest Joker of all time. Now think, if he had to follow by the book and just play Joker the way Joker was intended to be played, we would never see that type of Joker. So now we get a chance to see a different type of Lex Luthor. And he just brought his own depth to it, just different levels of Lex Luthor. And I thought it was fucking dope, man. And the way he manipulated the whole situation to make Batman fight Superman, it was just... one of my favorite scenes in the movie is when Superman is on the floor picking up the pictures that Lex drops, and Lex goes, now a god bows to me.
Yeah.
The way he set that whole shit up was fucking crazy.
To get Superman on his knees in front of you. I mean, he could have killed him, he could have done anything, but he had him, like, it was like he had him vulnerable in that moment.
And now, I'm not going to compare Heath Ledger's Joker Jesse Eisenberg's Lex Luthor. I'm not going to do that, right? But if you think about the way Joker orchestrated the whole setup in Dark Knight, right?
Yeah.
And look how Lex Luthor set up the whole thing for this whole battle to fight. Now, when you watch the marketing of the movie, you're like, damn, how are these guys going to fight? Batman doesn't fight Superman. a lot of people were complaining about that. Like, they're not supposed to fight. And then you watch the movie, and then it hits you like, oh, that's why they're fighting. Interesting. And I was interested. I'm like, oh, shit, man. And it's just like, I'm watching this movie, and the whole time I'm sitting there like, I don't understand why people hate this movie.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Like, it was just, one of my favorite scenes was the nightmare scene, where it's like a futuristic post-apocalyptic Earth where Batman, he's in this like different outfit, and you can see the Omega symbol on the floor, which is Darkseid symbol, and it'll just, the world looked like Apocalypse, and you see the parademons, which is like his minions, and it's just, you know, that whole scene, you're wondering like, okay, it's a dream, but why would he be having that dream of something that is to come? And this is something I said earlier about dreams having a link to the future. Whenever I wake up, I'm like, oh, I had that dream, and I just experienced it. To me, that's a scene that's probably going to happen in the future, you know, cinematic universe, or it's something that can happen, that might not happen, but you do see the Flash warning him, and he's saying, bring everything, body together and whatnot. I think it's something that was to come, but, you know, throughout the films, if everything goes accordingly and they save the world, it won't happen. But that's a future that definitely does happen. So it was more than a dream. It was actually something that occurred.
And normally in a Marvel movie, we get that type of scene or some shit in like the after credit scene, right?
Yeah.
Now in this movie, we just get to see it within the movie. And now you've seen this movie, you've seen this scene in trailers. You've seen the whole scene where Batman is captured and Superman flies down and he takes his helmet, he takes the cowl off or whatever, and you get to see Bruce Wayne or whatever it is. And we talk about world building, right? Because now you mentioned the parademons, you see the Omega symbol with Darkseid, so now you know that there's a possibility of this character hitting, and like you said, that it seems like you might get to see Darkseid now, right?
Yeah.
And at the end of the movie, you hear Jesse Eisenberg say, he's coming, he's hungry. Who was he talking about then?
Yeah.
It has to be Darkseid, no? It
has to be Darkseid, yeah. But he was also talking in general, just anybody out there that's watching, they know Superman's around. And now that he's dead, they're like, any villain. So that can be Brainiac. He said he's coming, but he definitely said anybody. So that can be a lot. Other villains that would just come, like Darkseid and Brainiac.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought the movie was beautifully shot. You never really hear me talk about movie music ever. And I thought the score was fucking great, man. Like, I think the last time I liked the score of a movie was Sucker Punch. And I remember watching Sucker Punch and like, yo, I need the soundtrack. Like, I don't buy movie soundtracks. I think the only soundtracks that ever caught my attention were Pulp Fiction, Kill Bill, Sucker Punch, and this movie. Like, beautiful. Like, I fucking love the score. The action was just on point. Like, Batman, I want to see a new Batman movie with the way this was shot. Like, I would love to see Zack Snyder direct a Batman movie, because I think the way he portrayed Batman in this movie was great.
No, Zack Snyder, and I'm not jumping on the gun, and a lot of people are saying he should get away from this, you know, the universe. But Zack Snyder's been one of my favorite directors since 300. He did 300, he did Sucker Punch, which I defend that movie. I love it. You don't get a lot of people that like that movie. Oh, it lacks imagination. We spoke about that before. But I like Zack Snyder. He did The Watchmen. I love his visualistic style. And I think he's a great director. And I wouldn't mind him doing another, you know, DC film.
Yeah, and I just like the scene where you first see Batman, when the cop is going in and it seems like there's a whole bunch of hostages under the building or whatever, right? And you see, yep, Batman like hanging from the corner of the room or whatever, and when the cop shoots at him, you just see Batman move. Like, it's just great. Like, it reminded me of the old cartoon where you just wouldn't see Batman, you just see like his cape, and it was just, I loved it, man. The Batmobile, although we didn't get a really good look at the Batmobile, although you can Google it and see pictures. I thought the Batmobile was great. The Batwing was great. I really just don't understand the hate for this movie, man. The whole time I'm watching this movie, I'm like 30% on Rotten Tomatoes. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, but critics, it's like 70-something percent critics.
And I feel like critics, they have such a...
I mean, fan base, excuse me. Critics is 30%, 70% is like critic fan base.
But critics have such an influence on just people in general, right? Because like the whole day, like the first day that the movie came out, I'm at work and a lot of people that were talking about the movie, the first thing they mentioned was just the reviews. Like, oh shit, it has a 30%. Some people in my job were just like, I don't know if I want to watch it now. I don't know if I'm going to watch it. But like, why?
And why wouldn't you watch? It's Batman versus Superman. You just watch it even if they're saying it sucked. It can't suck. There's just no way. You have to watch it for yourself.
Yeah, and it just, like, I've been reading a lot of comments online, and just people are just like, that movie was garbage. It was complete shit.
And my take on that is like, have you ever written a script? Are you a director? Are you the, you're not even, you don't have any say. It's basically your preference and how you perceive things. Like people complaining, oh, they try to do too much, or they added this from this comic and that from that comic. And it's like, it still was a world that it was in itself, and it flowed and it didn't seem off. And I liked the acting. I thought the acting was great with everybody's part. And I never for once felt like it was jumping the gun here and there. I felt like it was just one movie that was just continuously flowing.
Yeah, and it was just, I don't know, like some people were saying that they felt like it's disjointed, that the editing is off, and like one scene you're doing this and in the next scene you have a nightmare sequence, and I don't think people were just paying attention. I think the movie's very complex.
I believe no one was paying attention. Like, I don't, that's what I'm still trying to figure out myself.
And I know people might listen to this and say they're totally bugging out, and to me, the movie was a very complex story. There was a lot involved, but I thought it was done really well. I thought they fit in as much as they can. The Wonder Woman inclusion I thought was cool, because I think, you know, you got a chance to see enough Wonder Woman, and it wasn't too much and it wasn't too little. I think it was just perfect. And she kicked ass. Like, she was a beast. And when they finally did show like the Aquaman and the Cyborg, I like the way they did it. It was small little snippets just so you can see that they're there, like the metahumans are there. It sets up the Justice League a little bit. And I don't know, man, like, I just,
and mind you, I'm not a fanboy because I love Marvel. I prefer Marvel instead, Marvel, but I really enjoyed the film, and I'm sure we're not just, you know, saying positive things just because you might think we're fanboys, because we're definitely not. At least I know I'm not.
And I mean, Superman is my favorite comic book hero. And I think if I had a close second, it would be Batman. Like, I love those characters. And I didn't like Man of Steel. Like, I did like Man of Steel, but I didn't like it as much as some people did. And if I love Superman so much, I would automatically love Man of Steel, no, right? If that's the fanboy shit. But no, it's just, I would say it's not a great movie. And I would think, in my opinion, that this, I felt like this movie was great. And I know that's not a popular opinion right now, and a lot of people are really hating this movie, and I feel like people were just nitpicking, man. Like, one review I read, they were like, I was so disappointed between the fight between Batman and Superman. Like, the fight, it was a really short fight, and why was it indoors? Now, if you Batman, why the fuck would you fight Superman outdoors? Can you? Why would you fight him outdoors? That doesn't make sense to me. You want to contain him, no?
Yeah.
And if you watch the fight, Batman set up traps for him, right?
Yeah.
You contain the beast. You don't fight him outdoors where he could fly away and just beat the shit out of you. No, he can throw you across the state if he felt like it. No. Now you have a contained Superman. And the length of the fight was within the fucking story. They only had a certain amount of time. They had, what, 37 minutes to fight?
Yeah.
Lex Luthor put a timestamp on the fight. He said, you had an hour when you first got here, but now you have less. People were complaining about the egg timers that he was using.
Like, why?
Nitpicking. Like, I felt like it added another layer to his character because it seemed like he was obsessed with time. And I didn't mind that. It was just, it gave him something else. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just don't know, man. Like, people were just bitching about everything. And the fight, I thought was cool, man. Like, he was using kryptonite, so Superman's weak. And then when you see the kryptonite wearing off, then you see Superman, like, that one moment where Batman's punching the shit out of him, and all of a sudden the kryptonite wears off and he's hitting and Batman, Superman's face is not even moving. You see it in his eyes. You never seen Batman like that, and he looks scared, like, oh fuck. Like, and then he hit him again with the kryptonite. Like, I thought it was great, man. I don't know. I thought it was great. And I think people set themselves up for disappointment because they're like, oh, the fight was quick. And then they were friends right after. If you didn't think that was going to happen within the marketing of the movie, you weren't paying attention.
Yeah, and if you follow, I mean, maybe you don't follow, you know, the comic books. So you're expecting them to go all out, one's going to die. And if you're thinking that way, then no. They're superheroes. Of course, no one's going to die or no one's going to, you know, kill each other. Or lose to the other. They're gonna come together. Like, that's something you have to expect.
Well, there was definitely a winner within the fight. Batman definitely won that fight.
Well, yeah.
And if it wasn't for Lois, he would have died. He would have pretty much died. And speaking of, Batman, you know, he doesn't kill people normally.
But within the movie, I'm saying, like, if you were expecting them not to join... That was stupid because, like you said, it wasn't a trailer.
It wasn't the
fighting wasn't gonna last. Like, you should have expected that.
And you seen in the trailer within the marketing, you see him, Wonder Woman, Batman, Wonder Woman, and Superman standing next to each other. And then even in the trailer, he goes, "Is she with you?" And he goes, "No, I thought she was with you." Like, you know, they were gonna come together to fight Doomsday. That shit's in the trailer. Like, come on, people. Like, really pay attention. And speaking of Doomsday, although I wasn't really sold on his look. I felt like he should have had the bones throughout the beginning, like as soon as he was born, because he looked like just a naked goblin or troll, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But I think once he got like the bones on him, he looked more traditional, like Doomsday. I think they should have put more bones on him just to make him look more imposing. But I thought his character in general, although he doesn't speak, he was very powerful and he looked very threatening. Like he was fucking him up.
You know?
And like what I liked about it is they didn't try to make Batman look too strong. Because when the Doomsday fight happened, like, he was taking cover. And there's, like, a scene where Doomsday does, like, this pulse or whatever that comes off his body. And I don't know if you caught this, but you see Batman, like, run and hide under rubble.
Yeah, he hides under rubble.
And then you see Batman, you see Superman and Wonder Woman just stand there and take it pretty much. And she's behind her shield. And I like that they didn't show Superman. They didn't try to force Batman to automatically just be this super strong guy who could take on Doomsday. Like, he knew his boundary. He knew his limit. He was away from the fight, you know. I like that. I thought that was cool. He was pretty much a no-show in that fight until he hit him with the kryptonite gas or whatever it was. And what did you think about Doomsday?
I would have preferred not seeing him look naked.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, without the bones. But once the bones grew and I was like, okay, this is Doomsday, and he was definitely strong. And I like that. You know, you want the next film to have a more imposing villain, and he was definitely more imposing than General Zod, which technically he was Zod, just, you know, transformed and why not, whatever the hell the word was in the movie they used.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought he was crazy. I didn't think he was going to be as destructive as they made it seem, because there was a lot of destructive. In these films, a lot of destructive. Now, you feel so bad for this world, because they got so much they got to take care of. And I can only imagine when Darkseid comes or any other villains.
But that's another thing, too, that you just mentioned, that I'm glad you mentioned that, because that adds another layer to why Batman didn't like him and why us, or just humans in general, might have an issue with Superman. Because if Superman is not there, if he left Metropolis, nobody would try to take him out. So now you have no motivation for Lex Luthor to try to kill Superman and then create Doomsday, right? And then Zod would have never hit Metropolis and he would never try to kill Superman. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like, it adds more to his story.
And yeah.
I don't know, man. Now, I would like to see if the third one, if they would show now how we actually embrace Superman. Because he's dead at the end of the movie, right? Well, you actually get to see that he didn't die. Like, he looks like he's going to come back.
Yeah.
Now, I would love to see, like, us as a society, or humans as a society, embrace Superman.
That's what I read. Like, maybe the next movie, he will be embraced and he will be the Superman that viewers themselves know. And that there won't be none of this, like, you know, oh, they don't like me, I shouldn't be here type of Superman.
And I think if they did it like that, it would actually bring everything full circle. Because, like, the Man of Steel, I wasn't really sold on Superman. And everybody kept saying, like, Mike, but it's building his story. Like, he just, you know. And I really have to watch that movie again, because I think this movie is going to make me like Man of Steel more.
And you will, because it's an origin story. but it's an origin story unlike any other Superman movie before. And not only that, you will see that he's not Superman. They never call him Superman yet. So it tells you in a way that, okay, this is not the Superman you're used to, because he's just learning to fit in this world and with his powers. And you'll see, like you said, it'll come full circle if it does in the next movie, but you'll see where it leads to with this movie, and I think you will appreciate it.
Yeah, and I don't know, man. I'm going to say, overall, I thought the movie was I think it was a beautiful movie, like beautifully shot. I think it was crafted well. And again, I know that's not popular opinion. People might look at this and like, he has no taste because that movie was garbage. And I don't give a I could care less. I thought the movie was very complex. I thought it told a really cool story and a different take. I just think it did different things, you know, like, and I think it kind of fell in line with like a Dark Knight type. Now, I'm not saying as far as quality is concerned, but just how Dark Knight was complex, because Dark Knight had a few stories within it, if I'm not mistaken, right or wrong.
Yeah.
It didn't tell just one story. It had the Harvey Dent story. It had Batman story. You know what I'm saying? Like, it had a few layers to it. And I don't know, man. I really, really enjoyed this movie. I saw it twice, and I can't wait for the Blu-ray. I can't wait to watch this movie again. Like, I really, really liked it a lot. What else, man? You think anything else about the movie? Anything we missed?
I was thinking about, like I said, I love that nightmare scene with the whole vision of the Flash, and I just really hope it really, like, because it made $400 million already worldwide. And I just really hope it does enough that this DC cinematic universe does continue. And you know, I like I said, I'm not a fan of DC like Marvel, because I've always been more into Marvel, and I love the Marvel films. But I'm kind of glad that DC, in, you know, what they're trying to do since, you know, Man of Steel, that it's different and it doesn't follow the Marvel films in any type of way. And I think, you know, the grittiness and the darkness, it flows with it. And I just want to see what they do, you know, where it continues.
And I feel really bad for Zack Snyder, because it seems like now he's taking on the role of a Michael Bay. Well, I'm reading comments and people are just like, oh, Zack Snyder, he needs to not.
You know what? That's a lot of nonsense, because people are saying that because of the destruction level within the films. And they're thinking, and Michael Bay is known for blowing stuff up. And that's not what it is with Zack Snyder's films. There's definitely story within his films, and it's really different. They need to stop that. Yep. But of course, with Superman movie, you're going to need the destruction, because that was something I've always wanted. And I finally got it in Man of Steel. And I'm not saying, oh, he's trying to be like Michael Bay, or he's like another Michael Bay, because that's what Superman movie is. Look at the world, you know?
You
just like,
sounded like a robot right now. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, it's Skype. Yeah, Skype. But yeah, you know, like, I don't know. People just need to shut up. Shut up and make your own damn movie.
One issue I had with the marketing of this movie, I felt like it showed too much. And I think that they had to do that, because after the first trailer, some people were just like, this movie doesn't look good. So now when they show the trailer where you see Batman in that warehouse or whatever it was, just fucking all those guys up, and then caught people's attention, like, oh, that looks really badass. And like, I remember seeing that clip and I'm like, yo, the tone of this movie looks crazy. Like, Batman is fucking shit up. And then when I saw that, and the funny thing is, that's like the last few minutes of the movie.
Yeah, I didn't expect that.
Right? And I'm just like, damn, you could tell they were desperate to get people involved and like, oh shit, like this movie does look good. And I wish I would have seen that for the first time in the theater. Like, oh man, because I already expected it. Like, and I remember there was one point that you reached over to me and was like, but where's that scene where Batman's fucking all those guys up? And I
yeah, because I'm like, oh, where's the scene at?
And it was just, and to set that scene up for, you know, Batman has to save Superman's mom, because Superman's mom is being held captive, and that's the reason why they're gonna fight, because Lex Luthor tells Superman, your mom is captured, and the only way we'll let her go is if you bring me back Batman's head. So now he's stuck, because he wants to save his mom. But when he goes to see Batman, his intentions are to get help from Batman, and then Batman didn't want to hear it because he already has his hatred towards him. So then they start fighting or whatever, and Batman pretty much attacks him. He does like the sound wave shit, he does this shit with some turrets, and then he has this kryptonite. So Superman doesn't really want to fight him. Like, he's trying not to fight him. And that's another thing, like, you know, the fanboys between Batman and Superman, like, Batman really kicks Superman's ass. Like, Superman didn't really want to fight him though. The whole time he was trying to like, no, my mom, like we need to save my mom. So Batman goes to save the mom, and then like he pretty much rescues her, and it was just so badass, man. And like, I think that scene alone with Batman fighting all those guys was better than any action sequence, well, fist to fist combat within the Dark Knight trilogy. Do you agree with that, Elise?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that? I'm reading something about the dream sequence.
So the scene where Batman is kicking all the ass yeah. when he saves Martha Kent or whatever. I said I think the way they portrayed Batman in that scene within the action itself was probably better than any fist to fist fight in the Dark Knight trilogy.
Oh yeah, because in the Dark Knight trilogy, you barely see him fighting in a movie. Well, I think the most you've ever seen him fight was in The Dark Knight Rises. And even then, it wasn't like anything to brag about, because this was Batman. Like, fighting, this was definitely Batman. And from what I'm used to reading in the comics or seeing in the cartoons, like, it seemed real, like, fluid, like his movements, like he knew what the hell he was doing. Unlike the Dark Knight trilogy, it was just a lot of punching and blocking and like a kick here, but this was just like all over the place Batman.
And I remember watching the trailer, and one of my coworkers was like, I don't like it, he looks too strong. And it reminded me of the 90s Batman cartoon.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He would fly across the room and he was strong and he would be able to slam you and flip guys, and it was very reminiscent of that to me. And
yeah,
I thought it was fucking great, man. And I really hope Zack Snyder is not removed from the situation, because I feel like I would like to see him complete his circle, I guess. Like, I would like to see him do another Superman movie. Like, I think he crafted a really cool story within Superman.
Yeah.
And just picture this movie as a graphic novel and just see how that would play out. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think people are just being way too harsh and they're not really paying attention. And I really think that people just went into this movie thinking that the movie was going to be something totally different, and they expected something that they didn't get, and their expectations were set a little too high or something. And I don't know, but
yeah. Now,
the question I have for you is, where would you rank this movie within comic movies?
And that's
we have our hierarchy, right? Like, we have our list.
Yeah. Start with my top five, and that's, I think we may have done this already, but I don't remember. But if whatever I can think of now that I love as far as comic book movies is concerned, I'll definitely utilize that. All right, so my top five includes, and this is no particular order, Watchmen. It includes The Avengers. Huh?
V for Vendetta.
It did include V for Vendetta. Actually, no. It's Watchmen, V for Vendetta, The Winter Soldier. I was going to say The Avengers, but I'm not going to say The Avengers. I will say, and I don't know, I love Ant-Man.
Mm-hmm. That's fine.
Ant-Man and Guardians of the Galaxy.
Nice. Now, do you think after multiple viewings, you think this would slide in somewhere?
It would slide. Actually, I would take out V for Vendetta and put in Batman versus Superman.
Really?
Yeah. Because I love Evil Vendetta. But
that says a lot, because this movie just came out and you're already putting it in your top five comic
movies. Yeah, only because I know because of what it is, like, what I can see what they were trying to do. Like, I feel like I see it a lot past of what the critics saw and what they're disagreeing with. And just saying that, well, what I'm disagreeing with them on, you know, what they're saying about the movie. I'm really looking forward to the future of the films and where they're taking it. That's probably why.
Yeah, man. I think within the money, I don't really think the studio's gonna look at the critics and just be like, ah, oh, fuck, we gotta get Zack Snyder out of here. And I think they're just gonna look at the money and be like, this guy is just. And I think we forget that Zack Snyder, he did 300, right?
Yeah.
Now say what you want about the 300 storyline, but as far as comic book adaptations, that's probably one of the best comic book adaptations of all time. And we forget that he crafted that. You know, like, he took that frame by frame and made it look exactly like the damn comic, and that's tough to do. And yeah. I think without 300, we won't see Zack Snyder directing a Batman movie. Or, I mean, Batman versus Superman movie, or Superman movie in general. So, I don't know, man. I feel bad because he's getting too much criticism. People saying he shouldn't direct movies anymore, blah, 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 blah. You fucking idiots. Damn, man, like, I really like this movie, and I think it eventually end up in my top five superhero movies, believe it or not. I think it's that good, in my opinion. I don't know. I'm clearly seeing something that people are not seeing, and I thought the movie was great, man.
Yeah, like I said, I'm reading this thing right now, and it's like they're talking about the dream sequence, the nightmare sequence, and what it can probably mean. Maybe it's a alternate reality Earth, a future Earth. Does it even take place on Earth? And they definitely know that it's dark side, because apparently Earth and human beings possess something called fragments, possess a great deal of fragments called the anti-life equation. I don't know what that is. I gotta look into it. Apparently, Darkseid wants the anti-life equation, eliminating free will, which unravels the mysterious anti-life equations to give control over the thoughts and emotions of every living thing. It sounds kind of lame, but.
But whatever. How would Superman fit into that? Because in this, in the premonition, what if it isn't premonition? In fact,
that's the thing too. It's kind of like, why would, like, why is Superman bad, or like taking, you know, holding hostage Batman? And it's obviously has to do with probably Lois Lane, you took her away from me, so you're getting upset about that, and are you joining Darkseid? Do you know what's going on? So it does kind of doesn't make any sense in that aspect. I don't know, unless he's in that moment he joined Darkseid. I don't really know what's going on there.
And then,
but
he had his own soldiers, because if I don't know if you noticed, but I don't know if, like, I don't know if a lot of people noticed, but because I don't
really, there was the, yeah, they had a patch.
They had the Superman patch on their shoulders. So
yeah, I don't know what really was going on there. It seemed difficult. Once, yeah, with the whole Superman issue, like, why would he be involved with Darkseid? I don't know. Something weird with that. That was a little off. But in the dialogue in that sequence with Bruce Wayne seeing Flash, it was a bit muddled, but he says Bruce was right about him, meaning Superman, and that Lois Lane is the key and her survival is crucial too. And then something, like, you don't hear about it. But that's the quote on that. I mean, that's what he says in the movie, which her survival is crucial to what? I want to know, like, why is she such a big deal? Because maybe if she dies, he does become bad, and that opens up a way of Darkseid to come. I don't know, but I don't know if it's willingly by Superman or what. But there's definitely something's going on there.
I really hope this is just Skype acting up and it's not going to come into the audio, but you sounded like a robot again. Talk again?
Testing, testing.
I don't know. Yeah, it's doing it again. I don't know what's going on. So we're going to take a quick break and see if we can figure out this audio stuff, and then we'll come back and we'll wrap up the conversation with the, I guess, our closing thoughts on the movie. So we'll be right back. And we're back. Elroy no longer sounds like a robot. Hopefully it stays like that.
Hopefully.
Hopefully it doesn't come into the audio. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, what are your closing thoughts on the movie?
I really enjoyed it. I really liked it. I think it was great in what it's setting up. A lot of answers need to be said. Oh, well, not that they need to be said, but a lot of answers I can't wait to be shown and said through the other films.
You buying the Blu-ray?
Hell yeah. That's no,
your
no,
brother was
no.
telling me that there's supposed to be some collector's edition or some shit.
Probably. I don't know.
I think he said you get to choose your side, either Batman collectors or Superman, and I think it comes with like a statue of each. I don't know.
I'll just get Batman.
Sounds cool, I guess. Superman, baby. The funny thing is I love Batman too, but it's like Superman's always been my favorite, so it's tough, but I don't know, whatever. But again, my closing thoughts is I really, really love the movie. I get, like, just like I always said, I can't wait to see how they set everything up. I want to see how it closes out. But I also want to see Zack Snyder come back and do it. Because I think, in my opinion, he crafted a really, really cool story. And a really different take on Superman. And just in general, like, how we react as humans to a superhero. And I kind of think you kind of saw that a little bit with Dark Knight also. But this is just on a different level, you know. Like, they're treating Superman like he's an alien. Like, we don't know him. And I like the whole complexity behind it, and I think it's really, really cool, and I can't wait. So,
That's but
pretty much it.
November 2017, Justice League.
Yeah. We'll wait till I don't know if you know, but do they mention that there's going to be another Superman movie, or? Is this considered
there was
like
talks
Superman
that
Part
there
3?
might be another one because they were saying this really isn't a Superman sequel, and then they're saying it is. So I'm really not sure what the hell's going on there, but maybe.
Yeah, we'll see. I hope though. That'd be cool to see another Superman movie. But anyway, thank you guys for listening. Again, you can see us. I mean, you can reach us on Twitter at nerdyishpodcast@twitter.com. You can email us any type of questions, comments, anything at nerdyishpodcast@gmail.com. You can find Elroy on Facebook and YouTube at Elroy Martinez Jr. Anything else before we finish?
That's about it.
That's about it. All right, cool. So this is our 20th episode. It was pretty much all Batman talk, Batman vs. Superman talk, and Daredevil talk. And next week we'll be back with a regular traditional podcast. We'll be back to form. So, well, I just felt like with this episode we had to like pretty much focus on Batman because I know the discussion would be long, and it didn't make sense to craft a regular podcast because it would have just been way too long to do all that. So, next week we'll be back to a regularly scheduled program. So, thanks for listening, guys, and have a great night. Download Clash Royale. That shit is fucking epic, and I'm pretty sure Elroy's gonna play it right now.
Hell yeah. I'm like on it right now.
All right, guys. Later, man.
Later.